Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
We've been teaching in a Sunday morning series for a while on the person of the Holy Spirit simply because I believe that people know more about the Lord Jesus in the modern day church. Then second, we know a little bit about the Heavenly Father because Jesus taught us that if we've seen Jesus, if we know Jesus, we know the Heavenly Father. But then Jesus said before he went on to heaven after his resurrection that he was going to send another comforter, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. And that person of the Holy Spirit would be God with us in the earth, and he's here to lead and guide us into all truth and show us the things we need to know about things to come. The reason he's here with us is the presence of God has to be in the earth for us to grow up spiritually. We need his presence here with us. Now, his presence in your life has to do with faith, just like receiving Jesus as your Savior had to do with faith. You heard the word of his salvation, and you believed that in your heart, and you confessed it with your mouth, and you were confessing the lordship of Jesus. But lordship is something that we grow in. It means that we make Jesus our master and controller. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world today that makes people, even many Christians, want to be their own master and in control of their own destiny. There's nothing more dangerous to do in the earth as a Christian than to try to take control of your destiny. Jesus knows the fullness of our destiny. He wants to be in control of that, or we don't get to the fullness of what God had for us. We can enjoy a life. We can enjoy a life that has some good in it, but to receive the kind of life that Jesus came to give us, we need the Holy Spirit. Now, we're in the earth and we see and feel and know things that we can perceive with our natural senses. But there is a realm called the kingdom of God. There is a realm called the spirit realm where God is. And when you can see into the spirit realm, you see him and you come to know him. Most people live a whole life not seeing into the spirit realm. Why? It's not necessary for us to see. It is needful that we believe. You can be glad sometimes that you don't see into the spirit realm because you might see the devil, demons, and evil spirits. Why? There's spiritual forces in the spirit realm. Now, I want you to be aware that Scripture says we call those things that be not as though they were, because when we lay claim to faith in the Lord Jesus, he calls it done. And in the spirit realm, things respond so that what we see with our eyes eventually will change to what we just prayed and believed that God would do for us. Now, while that's all happening, you need to be aware there's an unseen battle. And I think it's the grace of God and mercy of God that we don't see all that. Why, it'd be overwhelming to most folks. We just believe that he's got us and he's taken care of it and he's given us the victory already. Now, I want to talk about what I think is the greatest challenge to being led by the Holy Spirit. The greatest challenge in this life to be talked out of receiving God's best. I'm aware that in my own life, I have done without God's best in some things, but I continue to work on getting myself in a position to believe that I can receive his best. And I keep learning about what that is, because the Bible is the truth of God. And the more I look at that and learn of what the Bible says, the more I discover what the truth is. Because the Bible is our manual to understand the unseen realm. The Bible is our ability to understand what's going to happen when suddenly Jesus comes again and the earth in 1,000 years is repossessed by heaven, we're going to then be able to see into the spirit realm. We're going to then be able to see everything that's been going on that we didn't know about. Scripture says in the New Testament that our eyes will be opened instead of seeing little bits and pieces or picking up on things or discerning things. We're going to know fully and completely what the mind, will, and purpose of God is, so much so that we will see Jesus face to face just like we look at one another here. The startling reality is the spirit realm is more real than these natural circumstances. This natural life is temporal, or what we would use the word temporary. That means we're here for a little while and we don't get to see the real deal until later, except that the Holy Spirit reveals some things to us. I believe that when you come alive to the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit increasingly will make you aware of spiritual truth, of spiritual forces. You will recognize that it is not just you living out a life subject to fate and circumstances. You know there's more to it than that. You know, when you step out to obey God, it seems like sometimes, much of the time, you have more of a battle than if you were just minding your business, not trying to do anything to honor the Lord. Why is that? There are spiritual forces coming against God, especially God moving through or living through you. I'm glad that we don't get to see all of those forces. We just take authority over them when we know something's up. We can be glad that we don't see everything just yet. When we do see it, when we do see the fullness of that, it will be because we come back to the earth. Scripture teaches this, to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus 1,000 years. And when we're doing that, we have glorified bodies that can be here and there and everywhere at the speed of thought. The world will not be able to oppose the authority of God anymore. The world will not be able to oppose the word of God in your mouth anymore, because Scripture says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus as Lord. And that's what's happening during that 1,000 years. In the meantime, we choose to believe that it's true now. That's why the Holy Spirit is God with us here and now. He wants to give us a heads up on things to come so we can begin to enjoy right living now, so that we can begin to understand authority now. We will only understand it in part right now, but here's what I know about the Lord. His mercy is so great, He gives us the part that is enough to put us over the top. Did you know that a part of God's promise is enough to put you over the top, to give you the victory? Well, I want to share some things from the Scripture, because the Scripture is the truth of God. I observe trends in the body of Christ, and for the last 30 years, I've observed a trend that's definitely been happening. People get away from the core truth of God's Word. And we do that because this world, this fallen world, is designed to give us a substitute way of thinking, to give us a corrupted thinking. And corrupted thinking is simply this: thinking with God removed from it. Thinking putting God at a lower level, or thinking saying God is not reality because we can't see Him. The biggest challenge that the non-Christian will have to the Christian is, how can you believe in a God who you can't see, who is doing all of this stuff? And they say that because they are ignorant to the God that we serve. Understand, our greatest knowledge in the natural still is considered ignorance to the truth of God. We need to know the truth. Now, John 1:14 says that Jesus came, He manifested Himself, He came in the flesh to be grace and truth. So many messages in the body of Christ right now are majoring on grace, because people want to live according to their own knowledge. God wants us to embrace grace and truth so that we have the ability to live the truth. So we have the ability to believe that God is bettering us instead of putting up with us. That God would rather empower us than just keep forgiving us. That God would rather anoint us rather than us barely get by in this world. That he has something better. That he has something supernatural in the person of the Holy Spirit, who is also known as the Spirit of Truth. We want to focus today on truth because the Holy Spirit is about revealing to us, showing us, giving us a demonstration of who God is. Because we don't just need to know about him. We need to know the truth that brings the power of God into our life. So many times Christians live outside the power of God and don't experience anything mighty. I want you to be the exception to that. I've learned how to be the exception to that. When I embrace the truth of God in his word, it has the power in it to set me free from anything and everything that I choose to be set free from. That means there is a freedom from anything that will bring a bondage against us. But we have to embrace the truth for the power of God to be released in our life, because his power comes through his word. His power doesn't come through his word being spoken by pastor over you. It more comes from you taking what you hear and speaking it out of your mouth over your life. Because you have authority to release the abundant life in your life with the power of your mouth. So much so that God describes how we will live in the millennial age, that the two-edged sword will be in Jesus' mouth, but it's meant to be in your mouth. Did you know that was the same sword set outside the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were kicked out of paradise? God put the ability to enter back into paradise in your mouth. That's his word. That's how powerful the truth is. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. To bring your life out of destruction into full redemption, to get everything Jesus paid for while we're still here and alive. Now, it will give God glory. It'll be a wonderful thing when heaven is restored, the devil is put in chains in hell and cannot mess with people in the earth anymore, and we rule and reign in life, and the New Jerusalem comes down, and all the things that the Bible describes that people don't know much about, it's all going to happen like the Bible says. But there's something even more wonderful and more glorious than waiting for all of that to happen. It's choosing to believe in our heart right now. I am in Christ Jesus. He's already set me free. And I'm going to get a hold of everything that heaven has to offer while I'm here and now. We need it more now than we're going to need it then. You just get it then. The fullness of all of that comes into our life then. I've learned that faith is for us to receive now, and the Holy Spirit is the person of God that brings that truth into our life right now. So when you hear something, you have to choose to believe it or just chunk it aside and say, well, I'll give that some thought. You give it too much thought before you choose to believe it and you'll get talked out of it. Why? There's all kind of natural knowledge. Understand, natural knowledge is anything that man believes that boots God out of the picture. Our knowledge is supposed to have him all over it. And in it, as our creator, as our father, as our leader, as our guide, as our protector, as our comforter, as our teacher, he's supposed to be all in our business. Now, John 8:32 says that we'll know the truth and the truth will set us free. It didn't say that grace would set us free. Truth sets us free. Grace is what we need because we don't know the truth and we're ignorant, or we didn't do the truth because we're rebellious. Truth sets us free. Not just the believing of it, believing to the point that we say, I'm doing that. Right. I am doing that. Why? Action breaks the stronghold of the enemy. Action does. Being a doer. That's why we were warned by the Lord Jesus, don't only be a hearer. Being a hearer doesn't break the power of the devil over your life. Being a doer does. Why? You break out of the constraints of the spirit of this world. And the spirit of this world is not the Holy Spirit. The spirit of this world is anti-anointing, anti-Christ. You break out of that when you choose to believe what the Bible says and say, that is my truth. And I am going with that, and I am doing that. As soon as you move into that, whatever chains are holding you back are broken off. And you might not see it, and you may not feel differently. Why? You got so used to the chains being on you that you have phantom chain pain. Feels like it's still there. That will pass in due season. What you have to know is God is faithful to His word, always to perform it, and the truth has set you free, and you're coming out into freedom. Sometimes we've had a lifetime in bondage, and we don't recognize freedom when it comes because we just haven't learned what it even feels like. Now, we used as a theme for this series Romans 12:2, talking about transformation. Why? We can't transform ourselves just by believing. We have to choose to believe and do the truth, and the Holy Spirit then has permission to supernaturally move in our life. Just the believing isn't going to do that. A doing. Scripture goes back to salvation and says we have to believe and confess. What is confession? The beginning of doing. I am putting the flaming sword of God in my mouth and speaking His word to get me back into the Garden of Eden, to get me back into paradise. I choose to come back in through His word being in my mouth. And what does that do? It tells the enemy to move out of your way, that you are repossessing, that you are one of the redeemed, and you are coming back to take back what belongs to God, and He's made you the steward of it. Now, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That sounds wonderful, but then he tells us what to do. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or be God's proving ground for what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Notice we have to do the renewing of the mind. I have learned that the Holy Spirit, as my teacher, gives me right thinking. I have learned to listen intently to what the Holy Spirit says and do it. And step out. I have learned that it takes a boldness to do that. It will defy logic many times to do that. He will ask you to do something that does not make sense to you, but it lines up with the scripture. Here's the beauty of the truth setting us free. The more scripture you know, the more you'll understand when the Holy Spirit's telling you something and it will begin to make sense. He doesn't want to always be a mystery. He's only a mystery to us because we are ignorant to the way that He operates. Ignorance stops most Christians from experiencing God's best because we don't choose to go find what is that truth that's going to set me free. I hate the feeling of bondage. I hate it so much that if you lock me into a tiny dark room with no doors or windows, I will make a new door. You got about 30 seconds to clear the space. Why? I don't like any sense. Why? I believe God put that in me. There have been people say, oh, you need to be set free of that. No, I don't. Just don't lock me in a small room. Now, what do I believe? It gives me a sense, an understanding of what the enemy does in our lives. He tries to confine us and bring the boundaries of our habitation in closer and closer and closer. And then try to create as much chaos as he can in the little space we call our life when the Holy Spirit says, I've come to set you free with the truth, and I'm going to remove the barriers as far as the east is from the west, and you're going to begin to speak God's word out of your mouth, and life will begin to revert back to the marvelous state of the Garden of Eden. Say, Pastor, that's wishful thinking. No, it's what the scripture teaches. I choose to believe it. And my life's going to continue to line up with that. Now, to go on from here, God's truth and His Spirit together. The Word and the Spirit are meant to be one and operate as one. His Word and His Spirit together will set us free from this fallen kind of knowledge. If you've never heard a message like this before, I want to warn you that the world's system of education has turned into a way to move God out of people's thought life. So we have to be wise to understand that the world will drain thinking of God, God thoughts, God ways. It will begin to drain it away from you. And if you think too much the way the world does. And I said it this way a few months ago. If you fall in love with all the wrong things and wrong people, you'll be pulled away. Why? The world wants to put everything on a human plane. And oh, we're all in this together, and we've all got to love one another, and oh, we've all got to do everything for one another, and oh, we've got to preserve the earth. And when you study the scripture, God says he's the key to all of that. We are not. If you start taking on God's responsibility to watch out for and take care of everybody and do all of this and control the environment, make everything perfect and make sure everybody gets everything that they need in this world, you are displacing God, and we can't do his job. So the Holy Spirit helps us understand that we're to rule and reign with him. To do that, we have to know what he's up to. We have to choose to listen to him. And he's not going to give you authority over somebody else until you take rightful authority over you and say, Holy Spirit, I let you rule me. I want you to understand ruling and reigning starts with letting Holy Spirit take charge of you and trusting him to do the things that he says. And when we do, when we allow him to increase his authority in us, God allows our authority to increase in the earth. That's what makes it work. Now, man's knowledge, this, I'm calling it carnal knowledge. The kind of knowledge that puts God aside is meant to be a substitute for truth. I want to alert you to the point of being alarmed for your need for the person of the Holy Spirit. You cannot go into a place of secular education anymore without there being an element of removing God from your thinking. Education has moved toward making man the god of the earth and the top of the pecking order and the one that is intellectual. Well, we might have some intellect, but it's only because God put it in us to help us get by while we're here. He never intended our intellect to rule the world. He intended his spirit to always rule the world. So much so that all that the devil got at the fall in the garden was the devil got to take charge of the earth. He doesn't own it. God owns it. Now, we have to understand that if we are not vigilant against anti-God knowledge, we will swallow it hook, line, and sinker. I challenge you to think this way. If your children or you as an adult are in a secular place receiving education, this is happening. You need to recognize for the carnal knowledge that's being fed toward me or my kids, am I letting the Holy Spirit fill me with truth enough to throw out the junk and the bunk and the garbage? Because the truth causes us to displace the other stuff. Otherwise, we believe the same things that the world does, and we become powerless in our relationship with God because we are denying him power. See, when we choose to believe the world, we are saying, well, I'm going to have faith in humanity. I'm going to have faith in the government of the land. I'm going to have faith that Social Security is going to work. I'm going to have faith that socialized health care. You start thinking, oh, this all sounds wonderful. I'm just going to have faith that everybody else out there loves me enough to take care of me. I'm going to tell you something. That's not God's plan. God's plan was so dynamic that he had to send Jesus to die to buy us back into God's plan. That's what it means to be redeemed. We were bought back, and it means this. You have another option. But to take the other option, you might be the odd person out. You might send your kids to school and they will be the exception and they might have to put up with a little ridicule or persecution. Why? If they're not receiving it, it's because they don't rightly stand in faith. I'm going to tell you what the world is turning into because Jesus said in the end times that there would be persecution to the point that Christians would be reviled for what they believe. Get yourself ready for that. If you're not ready for that, you'll find yourself duped into it and becoming a pacifist. Well, I just don't want to stir up trouble. You know what Jesus said about the person that's lukewarm? Recognize what lukewarmness looks like. It's the ability for the flame of God in us to be cooled down by the icy chill of death that's on this world. And it's coming against you, and the only way to combat it is to be full of the person of fire. Be full of the person, the fire of God, the Holy Spirit, who causes all of that to stay off the continent of your life, that he cannot come in and invade and talk you out of what's rightfully yours, because Jesus died to give you access to that. Now, Genesis 2:17 tells us that man chose knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, over truth. God said, I want to come to you every morning and talk to you about the things you need to know. And the devil came in and said, I'm going to tell you what God's not telling you that you need to know. And man lost his ability to see God in the Spirit face to face. Adam and Eve experienced God just being right there, reaching out and touching them. What would that be like? We're going to find out what that's going to be like. They experienced that. They didn't know what they had till they didn't have it anymore. And the devil came in to deceive them into believing that they could be like God. If that isn't the philosophy of this world, we're intelligent enough to make it all work. We're intelligent enough to save the planet. Scripture says that it's not going to run out of resources, and God's going to recreate it. It'll be burned up with fire, and he's going to start over because we've done such a pitiful job. It also says that he's going to take recourse against the people that destroyed the earth, and they're going to pay. What does that look like? I don't know. I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be observing when he's recreating the earth, saying, that's my new home. I'm going to get to go back there, and it's going to be better than the first time out. Why? I choose to believe that the scripture is true. The more you learn of the truth, the more fascinated you'll be with the truth. The more real it will become to you. The more you'll be able to imagine these things coming to pass. And it's healthy to think about that. Why? We forget what we're in this thing, this relationship for. He brought us in so we can enjoy looking forward to what was lost and begin to take it back now by faith. Amen. Now, Daniel 12:4 says, at the time of the end, man, many in the earth will be running to and fro, or traveling faster and more than they ever have before. And knowledge shall be increased. I threw that in because, knowledge is being increased. They call it the information age. How fascinating, but how damnable to Christianity. Why? He's telling us what's going to be warring against the plan of God, an increase of knowledge. If you're not careful, you will be busy with all kinds of knowledge of everybody else's life that you don't need to know, and it will eat up all of your ability to have the truth of God working in you. You can get so busy being consumed with everybody else's fault or all that you have no room to meditate on the truth of God. And pretty soon, if you give yourself enough attention to everybody else's problems, you'll find yourself living on the same problematic plane, saying, well, I don't understand why now I don't have any victory. When you start to abide in the camp of words of people who are defeated, you'll come into a place of defeat right with them. Why? What you allow to come in, whether it's God's truth or earthly knowledge, will program what's going to happen in your mouth. Did you know the sword of God's word can fall out of your mouth and another sword comes in called corruption? The rusty sword comes in, the way of man comes in, the way that's going to be destroyed anyway, the way of thinking that moves God out of him and says, I better buckle under and I better do this and I better do that and we better get together and we better fight for each other and we better become an activist and we better protest. Why is all of that increasing in the earth? Because people are pushing God out of the way and trying to do God's job, and man can't do God's job. We can only cooperate with him so he can flow through us to do what he wants to do. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3 also says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Well, there's, you know, every so often I listen to a little bit of news and I choose the network carefully, but I listen to a little bit of news. And whatever I'm done with a little bit of news, I say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you rule over my life and all this, not all this stuff that's happening. And I give myself to prayer and I say, Lord, whatever it is that I can do to make a difference in this earth for you, I want to. I don't want this to only be an abundant life that I enjoy. I want to be able to express your love and your desire to other people too. Help me be preoccupied with your business and your truth instead of what's going on around me. Help me hear you first. I can be aware of some things going on. You know, there's another side of the camp where people think, oh, you've got to know everything going on. No, it'll be overwhelming. If I listen to too much news, I get overwhelmed, aggravated, and upset. So I when I start to feel just a slight aggravation, I say, enough of that. And I get back with the Spirit of Truth. I say, all that may be going on, it ain't going to mess with me. It isn't going to shut down the church of the living God in the United States. We are not going to become a secondary nation and not be muffled to preach the gospel anymore. About 10 years ago, there was a great move to shut the mouths of preachers. You know what this one did? I stood in front of the mouth and I said, as long as the sword of God is in my mouth, ain't nobody shutting me up. Why? I choose to believe what God's word says is true. And if he appointed unto me to be a preacher, then I'm going to be a preacher. If he appointed you to lead in whatever area of life you're supposed to lead in, well, then lead in it. You lead in it. We all lead the same way. We put the word of God in our mouth and we begin to speak that out. And his Spirit comes alongside that word and says, I'm going to release power in you to do that. See, that's why the word is important in our mouth. Now, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Enough of that. But he says, many will be ever learning, constantly pursuing more knowledge, constantly getting more education, constantly striving to get more understanding of how to operate in the natural realm. He says, but they're never able to comprehend one thing, the truth. I want you to understand that if we don't put God's truth first, we will never be able to produce God's promises. If we try to pursue it in a natural way, do I believe people need an education? Yes, and there are requirements for certain professional lines that you need an education, but you need to be careful that your education to qualify you to do something in the natural does not disqualify you from the Spirit of God. Because there's two spirits and they are competing. It is no surprise to me that in our nation, education has tried to remove God out. Why, there's a spirit behind that. You put God back into education and watch our nation flourish in a way that it hasn't seen in the last 100 years. Why? There's been a move for a long time. Why? The devil is always up to the same thing. Let's boot God out of the earth. Why? The devil's a little upset he got booted out of the garden. Remember why he got booted out? He messed with our authority. So what's God doing now through us? He's getting him back. He's saying, no, they're going to take it back. They're going to take it back by believing and saying out of their mouth the right things. Now, secular. I'm going to say it this way, secular education. So, Pastor, we don't have a choice. You always have a choice. I want you to awaken to your choice. Here's the responsibility you take on if your kids are in public. And I'm not against public schools. I am against some of the gospel anti-God in public schools. If that happens, if your child gets a teacher that is anti-God, don't think that everything's going to be all right. You have to deal with the anti-God component every time you see your kid. Think about the education system or our nation or the government requiring your kids to spend so many hours a day to receive needful knowledge, but to also be corrupted with a twist on it. You've got to untwist all that. If you're going to put your kids in that atmosphere, be responsible to untwist it. If you send them particularly to a college, a secular college, God help you. Why? They will be trained there that you don't know anything. They will be told there that they have the opportunity to exceed your wisdom when in reality they are receiving carnal knowledge. The wisdom of God is to be protected. When parents choose to not think about these things, we are embracing ignorance and we're letting the enemy come in where we could let the Spirit of God rule in our life and rule in our family and help our kids get ahead. You may say, well, I don't have an economic advantage where I can do something else with my kids. I'm not telling you what to do, where to send your kids to school. I'm telling you that if you don't make sure that what's being put in them has faith in God mixed in with it, the responsibility rests on you and it should make you terrified. Why? Because the world is out to snatch that kid, not just out of you, but out of the heart of God before they have a chance to step out in faith on their own. So what happens is we either take on pressure or we take on a helper. and you want the helper. I'm just telling you. I've seen so many kids grow up in church, and when they leave church, they still don't know what they believe because all they heard the word was at church, didn't hear enough of it at home. I remember when we had high school started here, and I was all for that. I was right in the middle of all that happening, and had 30 kids right out of the bat wanted to be in the high school here. I went in and did devotions with them. I did Bible teaching with them, and I remember asking, polling them on a number of things, current issues of the day, and one of them, and really all of them, were things that now have come kind of full manifestation in the earth. One was, do you believe that God is permissive or accepting or even approving of a gay lifestyle? 3/4 of the kids in our school said yes, it was okay. Now, I'm just going to tell you, it isn't enough to go to church. You have to reinforce against what they're happening out there in the world. Because they're not just hearing it's okay. They are hearing it's popular, and they're not going to know what their orientation is unless they try everything. Now, I leave it to you. See, people are going to turn around. It's just about to go full circle. People are going to come around, Christians, and start blaming, the church should have stopped this. We're the church. It's all of us choosing, and here's what we have to choose. Am I going to stick to the truth, or am I going to fudge it? I know a lot of people in that lifestyle. I have people in my own family in that lifestyle. Not my kids. Don't try to figure it out. People you don't know. But everybody's probably got somebody wanting you to tell them it's okay. And you got somebody else in the family saying, but you got to love them. You got somebody else in the family just sitting back saying, I'm going to let them speak first because they're supposed to know all the answers. You know what you better do? Stick to the truth. Here's how you stick to the truth and you love people. You know, God's word is what I consider the highest authority in my life because it says that's the truth and it's the truth that's going to set me free. And this is what the Bible says. You get to choose whether you believe it or not. Well, you can't make people believe. But you know what? You can make them think. See, we're supposed to have, transformation comes because our mind gets renewed. The beginning of somebody else's mind being renewed, if they're off into shenanigans and problems, is you plant the seed for renewing the mind. And the seed is, I believe God's word is true, and this is what it says, so that's what I believe. And you smile, and you're kind, and you're good. Well, you're not trying to be offensive. We don't want to be offensive to anybody. We don't want it said that we don't love people. Love has a voice. It's the voice of the Lord Jesus. It's His Holy Spirit pointing to the truth. And then we got to deal with it. You know what upsets people the most? When they hear the truth and they know it's the truth, it makes them mad because they don't want to do the truth. You're not responsible for that. See, we got to remember, where's our responsibility? I need to be loving. I need to be encouraging. I need to be good. I need to be approachable. I need to be in a conversation like this. You belong in those conversations. But you belong there with the sword of the Spirit in your mouth, not your own wisdom or your own understanding or your own version of compassion. Why, God still loves everybody. I'm trying to help you understand how to navigate where knowledge, carnal knowledge, has taken over for God's truth. You're going to be confronted with that. Your children are confronted with that probably every day. So when they see you knowing how to love people and navigating truth into the situation, what are we responsible for? Planting seeds of truth. Amen. It comes from here. What is it? It's God's sword speaking. He's the one planting the seed. We just make ourselves available. And what happens when we plant the seed? He protects the planter with a harvest of good. That's what the scripture says. We stop planting, we're going to have weeds take over. I'll just tell you, that's how it works in your life. You stop planting truth, carnal knowledge will come in and it will overrun your garden. You'll say, how did this happen to me? I know better than this. Got to speak and say God's word. Now, this is important because this is the agenda of the person of the Holy Spirit. This is His role in your life. He is about helping you deal with conflict. He is about helping you bring the kingdom of God into manifestation. He is about keeping that sword in your mouth. We don't do battle by taking the sword in our hand and going after people. We do battle in the unseen realm with our words. I want you to understand that. You be kind and good to people. You love people wherever they are, but people don't find the way out without a roadmap, and the roadmap comes from your mouth speaking God's word. Not your word, not what you think. Be careful to not say this, "Well, this is what I think." You are lowering whatever God wanted to do. You're taking away his ability. And even if you have good advice, you just took God out of it because it's what you think. I've learned to say things like this. Doesn't really matter what I think. Matters what God says. People are like, "Oh, I never thought of it that way." It takes the ability to be offended by you away. If there's going to be an offense, it's because God said something. Well, people may say they don't believe the scripture, but I've learned something about most people. They don't want to offend God. That's why you can hear somebody that cusses a blue streak and the preacher walks in and they change what they're saying. Why? Suddenly they think God's hearing it because the preacher's in there. Or God's hearing it because you're in there. God doesn't choose to be offended. He loves us. Now, ignorance is what Jesus came to redeem us from. What is ignorance? Embracing carnal knowledge, embracing life without God, embracing I can do it myself, embracing there's a scientific explanation for everything, even if it defies the scripture. All those things are happening. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 8. And I want to get these scriptures to you because this is the truth that'll help people be set free. This is the truth that'll keep your kids from going out of your house not knowing enough truth to be free. See, there's a responsibility that the church partners with families to do. We're just like gravy on your mashed potatoes. That's what the church is to do. But you've got the lion's share. You've got the time. You've got the influence. God gave them to you. You've got the authority. You've got the decisions to make to invest in your family. And when they come here, they ought to say, "Mom, Dad, you told us that already. I already know that. I'm glad we already know that. I'm glad we prayed that Friday night over dinner. I'm glad." Well, you want the kids to come here and hear the word confirmed, not hear it for the first time. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 8, says, "Love never fails, the kind of love God has. But where there is knowledge, it will vanish away." That tells you what God thinks about all of this stuff going on. He does not care about it very much. Why? He's already settled what's going to happen on the earth. He's already said, he's already told us how we can be saved. He's already told us how we can rule and reign. He's already told us what's going to happen. And what the scripture says is happening increasingly, exponentially, very quickly. All of these things are happening so much so that if you try to look at the scripture today and find something that is not fulfilled in prophecy before Jesus can return, you won't find anything left. It's happened. The rapture of the church can happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, 1/40th of a second. Suddenly people will be gone. And scripture says that there will be two expecting to go and one will go out of two. That scares me. I think about that. It'd be pretty scary to wake up and be the only one in the bed in the morning when we both thought we were going to heaven together. I don't know how I'd handle that. So we're supposed to think about things like that. We're supposed to give consideration to what a healthy relationship with God looks like, to be watchful. Now, he says that where there's knowledge, it'll pass away, but now we see through a glass darkly. Or if you could explain how we see right now, you're looking through frosted glass to understand spiritual things. We'll get it a little bit. But he says, here's what's going to happen. When all of this occurs, when Jesus comes again, then we're going to see face to face. There's not going to be anything stopping us. We're going to go, "Oh my Lord. What I thought I didn't understand is more real than what I..." And you're going to start forgetting all about everything now. It says that this world will become strangely dim. And God's truth will suddenly be what you see and what you know. You know, that's going to catch a lot of Christians off guard. People aren't going to know what to do. They'll be thinking, "What's that? What's that? What's that?" Well, we don't choose to look at what the Word says life will look like then. I tell you, get your orientation now. Now, I know in part now, but I shall then be known even as I am known. In other words, you're going to know one another. You're going to perceive one another. You're going to know each other in heaven. You're going to recognize one another. We're going to have a full understanding of things that we can't comprehend now. The truth of God will become fully visible. Right now, you're operating with a blind spot. Right now, you're not going to get to see everything. Right now, it requires faith. You know, it's not going to require any faith then. Everything's going to be open and visible, and we're going to, oh, my Lord, I wish I'd known. I wish I'd thought about this. I wish I'd considered that. I wish I'd prayed more. I wish. He said I could have the eyes of my understanding enlightened. I sure wished I'd had that. Why? He can take some frost off the glass you're looking through. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You know what he does? Sometimes he just says, let me look over the glass. Let me show you. Let me show you something to come. Let's remove the veil. I love that. Why? There's a perfect, blessed will of God, and the Holy Spirit is the one that can show us those things. I want you to have supernatural equipping and ability for your family. I want you to have the supernatural power of God at work where it isn't just a matter of faith, and then kids step out of the house and decide. They've got to decide whether they believe or not. You want them to believe while they're there. The person of the Holy Spirit causes that to happen. To choose to experience his presence. Now, we should be preoccupied with our redemption, not what's going on in everyday life. When I question most people and say, how was your day? Everything is on a natural plane. That always disappoints my heart. Why? We're supposed to be preoccupied with our redemption. How we're doing in growing in the things of God. Now, you don't do that by looking at just natural things. We do that by being aware of what the Holy Spirit is doing. That's a higher kind of life, going from good to acceptable to perfect will of God. The perfect will of God is for you to know and understand everything God has for you and be walking in it. I want that. I want that. I still try to get my arms around what will that be like. Now, Luke 21:10, Jesus was speaking about the end times. He said, there will be great unrest with kingdom against kingdom and earthquakes and famines and pestilence and all these bad things happening. Well, they're happening. And we can stop there and get all freaked out and upset, or we can go on. I choose to go on. You will be persecuted and imprisoned for my sake. So I choose to go on. And it shall turn to you for testimony. In other words, it might destroy other people, but it ain't going to destroy you. It's going to turn into what God uses to change lives. I choose to believe that. And when these things begin to come to pass, he said begin. Don't wait till all these things happen to you. When these things begin to come to pass, I'm going to tell you they have begun to come to pass. I've never seen a time where Spirit-filled ministry would be more under fire than right now, more under scrutiny right now. I don't like being under scrutiny. I just like to say, you know, this is what you get, like it or not, because I'm working real hard to try to do what's right, you know. And I just kind of say, Lord, you just make sure you're keeping me straight. And I've decided if Jesus said these things are going to happen, I look beyond that. He said, when these things happen, begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads. You know how you do that? The kids come home and they say, Mom, Dad, you know, teacher made fun of me in science class because I said I believe the Bible. We got to do what he says. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draws nigh. Sweetheart, it doesn't matter if people don't agree with you. We believe what God says is true, and that's our basis for life. And because we do that, we know he's going to pull us out of here before things get too rough. And teach kids to understand that. There's been persecution for a long time. I remember experiencing it over and over as a kid. I came to school for show and tell, and I told them I got born again, and people were laughing, thought I was the craziest thing. And about half the class said, you just need to become a Catholic or a Lutheran or Methodist. I said, I've already been one of those. You know, this was an experience that can include. I was like, no, we don't do that. Okay. That happened in fourth grade. I wore the badge of that. I decided to wear the badge of that instead of hide the badge of that. You want to teach your kids what it takes to be a Christian today, that will happen to them, or they're not much of one. Right. Now, this is what he says is the important part. Then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. Every so often, things are just tough enough, gruff enough, ugly enough, I just start thanking him that one day this is all going to be different, and I'm going to rule and reign with him. Every so often, if I've taken a good beating, I just come into his presence to say, this is all for you, and you said it's going to turn out this way, and I'm lifting up my head expecting for you. You know what he does? He doesn't go, oh, you poor thing, I'm with you, and I'm going to stay with you through all your trials. No, he says, here's some power. Here's some blessing. Here's my approval. Here's my favor. Why? That's what causes those things to come upon us. We put his sword back in our mouth and say, no, you're doing the fighting for me through this situation. And I'm not going to give up. I'm keeping your word in my mouth, and you are going to cut away any kind of mess that's trying to ruin my life. And this is going to turn for my good and turn for the victory, because greater is the Holy Spirit of God within me than he that is in the world. Now, we're about to wrap it up, but I got to tell you a little bit more about the redemption. You're going to have a perfected body. I look forward to that. It won't need a lot of maintenance either. It's just going to be whatever heaven's activity is keeps you in perfect form, perfect shape. You'll be able to eat as much as you want, and there won't be such a thing as high cholesterol food. It won't. It will be whatever's there was perfect for you to have, and you get to have as much of it as you want. You go and pick it off the tree, and another pear pops out. You don't have to wait for the season and have it imported from South America when you're hungry for a pear. You just go outside, and there it is. And if there's not a pear tree in your yard, say, pear tree in Jesus' name. And pear tree comes. And, you know, God doesn't stop with a little sprout. He knows what you're after, the fruit, because that's what he's after. So what will he do? He will fulfill the desires of our heart. Beyond that, that perfect body gives us pleasure without pain. I like that. I hate pain. There's an anointing on our church to do without pain. Why? I pray that all the time for anybody going through a procedure, gets hurt or anything. We pray, and we've seen supernatural manifestation again and again. People ought to be hurting for weeks, and they're not hurting. I don't know why I don't need the pain meds. Well, I know why. I just tell them right up front. Jesus did that for you. Give him thanks, and you won't need them. Say, really, Pastor? Yeah, I believe in that. Why? I hate pain when I experience it. I've had to overcome some things with a lot of pain in it. Pain isn't just a natural thing. It can be something that happens to you emotionally, too. Pleasure without pain. That's what Eden means, pleasure. Do you understand? Part of the abundant life is for God to increase pleasure when the world says you should be wearing out. You don't. I just choose to believe that. And I would encourage you, go after that. Now, the third thing is we have authority to rule and reign with him. Though all of this seems futuristic because it's going to happen when we're in heaven, he gave it to us, he's gotten the victory now, and if we put the sword in our mouth now, we get to experience this now increasingly. But those that don't put the sword in their mouth will have none of it. They'll have to wait till heaven. So we have to decide where the sword is. If we're going to have the sword of the world be our knowledge and our authority, or the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is truth, and it cuts asunder the bondages and things that would otherwise get on us. Then you get one last thing fully redeemed, a paradise for a home. That's the other meaning for Eden. Pleasure, paradise. Don't people market every good vacation spot as a combination of that? Yet we get that forever. And we're supposed to embrace it now. We need to understand what's at stake. Because somehow people think, well, they're just going to automatically get everything in heaven. No, he expects us to take possession while we're here. So much so, he says, possess you your own soul. That means get your mind in line with the mind of God while we're here. Why? Lines us up. Why? What do I expect? When I get to heaven, I expect a guided tour, and it's going to be great, and I'm going to know stuff I'm seeing. I'm not going to first say, take me to my house. I'm going to first say, let's go to the throne. Why? I want to hear him say, well done. I want to see him smiling. When I come in the room, I want to see him smiling and looking in my direction, excited. I'm coming still like, who's that dude? You know, don't you? Now, John 14:17 tells us the Holy Spirit reveals truth so that we're not duped with knowledge. We direct it. We know how to use the things that we know. We know how to use our intellect to our advantage instead of to our defeat. God gave you a mind. He wants you to work it. He wants you to develop it, but not above trusting him. John 14:17 says, the Spirit of truth is the one that the world cannot receive. They're not going to understand your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Christians that don't have the overflow of the Holy Spirit will not understand. I'm like, well, that just sounds like a bit much for me. He's an overflow. He is a bit much. That's what he is. He's a bit too much. We can't contain him so much that he puts us on overflow. That's exactly who he is, a bit too much. Now, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it can't see him or know him. Why, they can't grasp it with the natural mind. Can't figure him out. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I'm going to tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He's interested in giving you practical help. He's interested in helping you through anything you can imagine calling on a helper for. I can't tell you, there's not enough time today because I've got to wrap this up. But so many things in business, so many things in receiving training and education, in so many ways, I've seen him again and again and again come in and be the helper, a supernatural help. Where I would get to work always at the right time, dealing with the right thing, where the bosses would be amazed. How do you know? How can you predict these things? I'd smile and say, I pray and I believe that the Holy Spirit's directing me. And they'd just look. And they'd probably thinking, freaky. But I had the results that made them money. And you know what? They put up with whatever they thought was freaky so that I could make them money. You know what? The world will embrace the results of God, and then many times it will turn them to him because they see the results. That's the person of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't take some supernatural, oh, I've got to know everything. No, you just start embracing the truth of God's word and saying, he is for me, who can be against me? He is the victory working in my life, and I'm going to line up my confession with what he says about me. I'm learning how to rule and reign in life as a king. And while I'm learning, I just got to hold my head up and say, Daddy said. You know, that works. Yeah. Now, John 16:13, as we close, how be it when he, that Spirit of Truth, I keep calling him Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth, when he is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. What does he want to do? He wants to help you with everything. He wants to help us with everything. He does it by showing us the truth and then convincing us, you want to do that. You want to say that. You want to say over the kids, they're not going to be tricked into believing wrong things. They're not going to believe lies. They're going to believe truth. And then you got to give them the truth to believe. I'm going to tell you, they're not going to get enough from pastor to keep them free when they leave your house. I don't have much time with them. In fact, your kids right now, they're getting full of the word as they can in an hour and a half. But you know what? How many hours are they hearing philosophy? How many hours are they here? You might want to look into, are my kids where God wants them to be to go to school? Are they in the atmosphere? Can I afford on my busy schedule to think that I'm going to give them enough truth on my own when I don't see them till 7 o'clock? We eat and they go to their rooms, they're on their phone, they're on their computer, and they're doing homework, and we don't interact but 30 minutes every night if we're lucky, and that's usually over the events of the next day and who has to go where by when and what the deadlines are and how we're going to make it all work. Isn't life busy like that? Don't be condemned that it's that busy. Just step back and say, I'm not going to let this natural realm control me. I'm not going to let the busyness of life dictate to me what the end of the day is going to be about in my family. I'm going to make sure that I teach the kids how to put the sword in their mouth. It's a lot different than in the hand. If you teach them to hold the hand, handle the word of God in their hand, Scripture says that's deceitfully. And we try to accomplish doing God's will by working harder and doing more. He said, no, we put him in our mouth. That's the seat of all authority. And that's where the Holy Spirit wants to be presiding over the things that we say. And if we begin to think the right things, we'll begin to say the right things. And we'll begin to have the God kind of life. I want you to stand to your feet. Pastor Paul, if you'd come. Today's led us up to this moment where if you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, this is your day. I'm going to tell you something about spiritual things. When you hear, it should stir faith. Understanding will come later. Your knowledge of the Holy Spirit will come when truth is revealed to you. I got filled with the Holy Spirit as an 11-year-old child. I didn't understand it. I just knew I heard he was a helper and I needed a helper. I wanted a helper. I wanted everything that God had for me. And I remember being in a Bible study, a home Bible study, and one of the adults there said, are you ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I said, I am. And I jumped out in the middle of the room. Well, everybody gathered around me, and they laid hands on me, and I wanted to receive everything God had. And they said, you're going to have enough of Him that He'll overflow out of you. And I thought, I wonder what that'll be like. An overflow of God. It'd just be good to have more of Him would be good, but an overflow. Best thing you can experience in this life after you're born again is get so much of God that you just know He's overflowing and He's love for you.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.